listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
Yeah, running down a dream that never would come to me. Running down a dream.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. We are live from the Auto Farm Studios. We're going to talk some Major League Baseball. Some sad news earlier in the week on Monday. News broke of the passing of Bill Buckner, who has passed away at the age of 69 after battling dementia. Bill Buckner may in fact be one of the most misunderstood or I guess mislabeled athletes in the history of the game of baseball. And I think that's an appropriate conversation to have on the show today. And joining us to discuss that with us, we have a great friend, Steve Bordstein. He's the host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. Steve, as always, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Appreciate the time. Thank you.
As I said, we're talking about Bill Buckner, maybe the most mislabeled player in the history of Major League Baseball. And I don't think that's an overstatement at all.
No, it's not. And, you know, it's easy for us as fans to remain angry at a player, you know, when it's the reminder of something bad happening. You and I are Dodgers fans. I mentioned the name Tom Niedenfuhr. All of a sudden, it conjures up images of the 85 playoffs, Jack Clark hitting a three-run homer to put the Cardinals in the World Series. That happens. Like, we do that. If you're it even happens to people who are not players. All I got to do is mention the name Steve Bartman. Mm-hmm. Well, the Cubs and the Red Sox have both won World Series since those incidents. But you look at a guy, you can mention Russell Wilson, and it'll conjure up images of Seattle in the Super Bowl. And Bill Buckner's that guy. Bill Buckner is that guy who, unfortunately, doesn't have a highlight resume where you could just click on YouTube and find, oh, Bill Buckner did this wonderful thing, and Bill Buckner did this fantastic thing. He doesn't have that. He was just a steady hitter, a guy who played the Major Leagues for 22 years, but he's remembered for little roller up along first, behind the bag, and the Vin Scully call, we all hear it. And it's unfortunate that that's the play he's remembered for, because the game wasn't law. If he makes the play at first, it's not like the Red Sox would have won the World Series. That game at that point would have been 5-5 going to the 11th. And it was game six. There was still one more game in which the Red Sox blew a 3-0 lead in the sixth inning. So it's unfortunate because so many people just know that play and think the Mets won the World Series on that play. No, they didn't win the World Series on that play. There was a whole other game, and it's unfortunate because for years it was just another reminder of that long, frustrating curse of the Red Sox.
Well, and I think, Steve, even taking it a step further, I was blown away at the lack of knowledge that the average baseball fan has on Bill Buckner. Very few people are aware that he really came into his own with the Los Angeles Dodgers before the Dodgers traded him, I believe it was 74 or 75, to the Chicago Cubs. He was a fine player, played 8 seasons with the Cubs, collected over 1,000 hits. He was very good. I think he was a 300 hitter, if memory serves me right, for the Cubs. Made a couple of All-Star appearances as well. And then he went on to the Red Sox when the Red Sox were desperate for first base help. They acquired Buckner in 84. I was blown away at the fact that people are unaware that this guy had a tremendous run in the National League.
Oh, yeah, this guy was tremendous in the National League. He came over the L.A. Dodgers in 1969. Ironically enough, he was a second-round draft pick. And the guy who was drafted ahead of him in the first round was Bobby Valentine, who, of course, is manager of the Mets. It's a tremendous career. Here's another one that bothers me. And this goes back to the All-Star voting. Remember how the All-Star voting, you got that silly ballot, you had to punch the holes in it with the pens or whatever?
Yeah.
He played first base and outfield, so he was never really at one position long enough for anyone to really vote him into an All-Star game. He made the All-Star team once in his entire career. He won one batting title, but here's the numbers on the better side of it. He has more hits lifetime than Ted Williams. In the same time in which he played, only one player had more hits in Bill Buckner's career than Bill Buckner, and that player is Pete Rose. So, I mean, you look at these numbers, and unfortunately, again, he doesn't have that three-home run game. I went and looked on YouTube before I did a segment about him on my show this morning, and it's like, oh, yeah, there's an inside-the-park home run that he hit in like a million years ago, and then there's this one game against such-and-such team, he had 7 RBIs. That's really it. Here's another amazing stat, and this is kind of, this kind of goes along with how baseball is today. You mentioned how, you know, it's tough to, you know, analyze players from different generations. There is not one single season in Bill Buckner's career resume, not one, where he struck out more than 40 times in a season. We watch players every day, Jordan, who are striking out 40 times in a month.
Bryce Harper, $300 million man.
Yeah, this guy didn't do it. This guy didn't strike out more than 40 times in a season ever. And so you tie that all in with this one play. And it's unfortunate because he's, and again, you know, was he a glamour player? No, he was just a guy, you know. But it's kind of the opposite effect of Kirk Gibson. I was talking about that this morning. Like, Kirk Gibson was a steady player. He hit home runs, but he was also just a rugged guy. But he'll always be remembered for the home run. You know, he's always remembered for game one. But that home run didn't win the Dodgers the World Series. That win just kind of changed the tune of the World Series. It changed the tide of that World Series because everyone considered the Oakland A's at that time with Mark McGwire, Jose Canseco, the Bash Brothers, to be this unhittable team, and it just changed the course of the World Series. So did Buckner's play, but it didn't cost them the World Series. And that, I think, is the unfortunate part, because when you look at that guy's career, he probably shouldn't have even been out there in the first place. He had a bad back. He was 37 years old. He probably should have been in the dugout at that point. And ironically enough, the guy who should have been at first base in that position, Dodgers manager Dave Roberts.
Yeah, how ironic is that?
And I'm sorry to interrupt. You know who started that game for the Red Sox? That game six, the game six starter at Shea Stadium in New York City, the Red Sox starter that game, Roger Clemens.
Interesting.
I mean, everything about that game, and it's so unfortunate that it's that play, and now we're sitting here talking about Bill Buckner all these years later, and I really want the narrative to not be about that one play, because he was really a really good, good ball player.
You know, though, Steve, I think in going back to some of the iconic plays, think about things, and you mentioned Steve Bartman. That did not lose the Chicago Cubs that series with the Florida Marlins. It did not. That particular play did not win the World Series for the Florida Marlins. But the fact of the matter is, it was the Chicago Cubs. It was in the middle of a curse. They hadn't won a World Series, and at that particular time, I can't even remember how long it was, something like 80-something years. You go back to Buckner, it's with the Boston Red Sox. And I could even throw a positive out there. The NBA, you go back to 1970, and you will see this play over and over again. Jerry West hits a 60-footer to send Game 3 of the NBA Finals into overtime against the Knicks. Well, guess what? The Lakers didn't even win that game. They didn't win that series, right? But we see that play over and over. And I guess it's kind of the story of maybe it's because it's connected to historical franchises. I mean, if Bill Buckner makes this error in the World Series and he plays for the Toronto Blue Jays, are we still talking about it today? I don't think we are.
No, I think a lot of it had to do with the curse. You're right. I mean, you look at the Steve Bartman thing. If that happens in any other game for any other team that maybe had already won a title the last 10, 15 years, something like that, no. But it is tied into that curse. And thank goodness the Red Sox have won World Series since, right? I mean, because otherwise, the reaction today is much more viral. And I'm sure there's going to be the tributes. I'm sure there would be. But not nearly as many as there would have been. You know, the anger would have been far, far, far more prevalent, you know, if they hadn't won the World Series. But it does bring up how we remember players. And it's ironic because the same weekend over in football, of course, we lost Bart Starr. And no one has a bad word to say about Bart Starr because he's a five-time NFL champion. But he doesn't have that one fumble play. Like, if he doesn't get in from the one-yard line in the Ice Bowl, that's the play we're going to focus on, right? No, because the Packers won Super Bowls. They were a dominant team. But if they hadn't won them, oh, yeah, I guarantee you they're going to show that failed attempt or whatever it was in the Ice Bowl. If that had failed, that would have been the narrative around Bart Starr. It's both unfortunate, and I understand it from the fan perspective, how one play generally defines one person's overall career, both good and bad.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. It really is. And I was trying to wrap my head around this all weekend. You know, is there a specific athlete out there that's going to be remembered, not for a bad incident, because, look, Ron Artest is always going to be remembered for the brawl at the Palace of Auburn Hills, and he should. It was a despicable display. Mike Tyson is going to be known for biting off Evander Holyfield's ear. He probably should. It was absolutely despicable. I'm not talking about events. If we're talking about plays, there's a, and let me be clear, there's a big difference between sports. Can you think of another athlete that has a specific play tied to their legacy in a negative way, like Bill Buckner?
The first one that comes to mind, and I don't even know why it came to mind, but as soon as you started throwing, as soon as you started the segue, it's Larry Johnson with a timeout, right?
Chris Webber?
Yeah, Chris Webber. I'm sorry, that's mm-hmm. right. Chris Webber with the timeout.
Okay. Yeah.
One, because how do you not know? How do you not know that situation? I get it. It's instinct. I get that. Okay. So let's throw instinct out for a second. I'm trying to think of one other. I mean, that's the one that comes to mind. I mean, a dumb one, and I say this only because it's a football thing. The opening play of the Super Bowl loss, Denver versus Seattle. Peyton Manning, the ball goes over his head.
Mm-hmm.
And then the wheels just come off the team. Granted, that's the beginning of the game, but it just was this, it just, from everything that happened afterwards, it just spiraled, right?
Right.
Those are the two that come to mind right away. I that's a great question, though.
You know, going back and to the Chris Webber timeout, one of the things, again, that we have to mention, Michigan's down in that game with 12 seconds.
Right.
They're losing 73-71. North Carolina has all the momentum of the world. Michigan had a chance to win that game. But if you erase the timeout from Chris Webber's legacy, there's no guarantee that Michigan still wins that game. And so I think you can kind of connect the dots to all these plays that these individuals are remembered for in a negative way. Michigan probably loses that game regardless if Chris Webber calls a timeout or not. And again, to be fair, without Chris Webber, Michigan's not in that spot. It's unfair that after everything that he accomplished in the NBA, never won a championship, so I guess we still go back to it. I like that that thought and that comparison a lot.
No, they're great comparisons. I mean, and I think that's what we do. And I think, like, on the flip side of it, you know, as far as the good ones are concerned, I mean, and again, I think the Russell Wilson comparison, I think that one's there. And I don't know if that's more on Russell Wilson or if that's more on Pete Carroll, right? I think you can make that argument that it could be on both of them. If you want to look at the one great play, and again, didn't end the World Series, but Kirk Gibson.
Yeah.
That one play. There's so many that you can go on that end of the spectrum. Christian Laettner, right? The Christian Laettner shot, the pass from Grant Hill. The Michael Jordan shot against the Jazz, right? I mean, that one. Is that the one that's against Utah, I think it is, or Cleveland. I forget who it is, but the shot he makes at the buzzer.
He had one against Cleveland and one against Utah. The one against Utah was in the NBA Finals.
Right, okay, the one against Utah in the NBA Finals. Now, those plays there. Derek Fisher, you know, ending the series against the Spurs. You know, I mean, those are iconic moments, and those are the good side of it. But we remember those with this sense of pride. We remember those with this sense of, oh, wow, these are great moments. I can't tell you how many times in the last 24 hours I've seen the Bill Buckner play at first base.
You know, and I guess kind of rewriting history a bit, you go back to Kobe Bryant's rookie year, he puts up two air balls in an elimination game against the Jazz in the state of Utah. Two air balls as a 19-year-old kid. Perhaps we forget about that because he came back and won 5 NBA championships and got better. I don't know. Maybe if Buckner and the Red Sox had won the World Series the following year, maybe we're not talking about it. Maybe if Chris Webber wins an NBA championship, we're not talking about it. I don't know, because Kobe Bryant had it was mind-boggling that he put up two terrible shots that barely drew net in an elimination game, and we really don't talk about that anymore.
Right. And again, I think that's where, as fans, we select, we pick and choose the things we want to remember, right? I mean, as fans, we will look back on an incident. Again, it goes back to, thank God, the Red Sox won a World Series. And I'm so glad that when they did, they reached out to Buckner and said, hey, we want you here. We want you to throw out the first pitch. And I remember the column that Bob Ryan, who at that time was a feature columnist for the Boston Globe, like, he called him a monster after that play.
Unbelievable.
He called him a monster. Okay, I get it. I understand it, but that's going to linger. And one of the clips that I remember from the 30 for 30 special, I believe it was, that ESPN did years later, and you could tell even then that he was starting to, you know, he was starting to go through some of the issues that later on would claim his life with the dementia issues. But he blamed the media. He said it wasn't tough to forgive the fans. It wasn't tough with them. It was tough for him to forgive the media. And I can't imagine going home to something like that. I can't imagine being in New York City, losing that game six, waking up the next morning, you're 100, you're 200, 300 miles away from Boston, and you see the papers the next day. You see the, you know, you hear about him at least at that time, and they're calling you a monster.
Yeah, I mean, really, just all the way around when you take a look at it. I know that was the story yesterday from the national media, and I'm very appreciative, Steve, of the fact that they downplayed the error and talked a little bit more about Bill Buckner, the player. And I thought last night, Scott Van Pelt, I rarely watch ESPN, but I happened to last night because it popped on right after the Dodgers-Mets game. I thought that Scott Van Pelt had a terrific monologue regarding the career of Bill Buckner.
And that was what I tried to do this morning as well. I do a segment on the show. It's like the morning monologue thing. And I didn't see Scott Van Pelt's piece. I went to sleep after the game was over. But I'll try and check it out today. My thing was, at no point in time am I going to play footage of the monologue. I don't want to play footage of the error. I want to talk about the inside the park home run. I downloaded clips off YouTube, and I downloaded that one. I downloaded the 7 RBI game. I downloaded a game-winning walk-off single that he had. Because that's the Bill Buckner that should be remembered in a tribute piece. When you're doing an obit piece about a celebrity, you don't bring up their worst moment. You just don't do that. And I didn't want to do that this morning, and I'm glad to see that other people are kind of doing that. Again, I understand clickbait. I understand, let's look at the error from 74 different angles, and now with Twitter we can do all sorts of funny images with it. Let's not do that, because this guy was a really good ball player. He was an obvious example of someone who understood forgiveness a little bit, understood his place in history a little bit, and tried to, you know, teach some perspective, and I thought that was really important.
Terrific stuff. Again, Steve Bortstein, he's the host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. We'll close out this segment with this one stat, and again, for those who will remember Bill Buckner for one of his worst moments as a baseball player, only five players from 1972 to 1982 with over 5,000 at-bats had a 300-plus average. Rod Carew, Al Oliver, Pete Rose, Steve Garvey, and Bill Buckner. Pretty elite category, to say the least. Steve, before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Weekdays, 7 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time, or 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Fox AM 1340, 93.9 FM here in New Mexico. We broadcast across the northwest part of the state, and of course, you can also listen online via the iHeartRadio app. You can download that to your smartphone or wireless device, and you can listen to us on our website at foxsports1340.com. Weekday mornings, First Sports, 7 to 10 a.m., and then, of course, on weekends, I host the Fast Track, a nationally syndicated horse racing show. We're a little more than a week and a half away now from the Belmont Stakes, the third and final jewel of racing's Triple Crown, and I host that also on Fox AM 1340, 93.9 FM, also on the website through the iHeartRadio app. You can also follow me on Twitter at Fox 1340 AM.
Steve, it's always a pleasure. Thank you again for the time. I know we'll talk again real soon.
Looking forward to it, my friend. Thank you.
We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return.